AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Crashed against the everyday.
Oh, yeah.
Going it out, Vic. Petros and Money AM 570 LA Sports. A super flex as we are going until 3 o'clock and then a 2-hour pregame. First pitch for the Dodgers Rays World Series game 1 at 5. So, really, a shakeup, a fluid situation on AM 570 LA Sports because you got Scam from 7 to 9,
we're
Sax
on
and Cates.
All day.
You got Rogan and Rodney 9 to noon. Petros and Money noon to 3.
2-hour pregame.
Probably the way it's been going these days, 4.5-hour game, maybe
seven.
5 or 7. And then you got Dave Vasse live from Globe Life Field for the postgame.
And he just joined us in the last segment.
Pretty great.
Everything that Matt just mentioned, including the game, can be streamed live on the iHeartRadio app, and you can podcast our show. So you have no excuses.
None.
To miss a minute of all this great Dodger action, all on the iHeartRadio app. We're still doing the grand in your hand, so listen to Code Word. At 20 after the hour, we'll be doing it the whole time we are on. Do you do it for the Dodger pregame? I'd probably not. But anyway, you'll hear a code word. You text that code word to 200-200. Somebody calls you back. They probably want to vote for something.
That's probably right, or money from you.
Or it's somebody trying to give you $1,000. And we had a winner just 2 weeks ago. So, for details, log on to am570lasports.com. It is easy. We got the lids thing going too, Matt, because baseball, remember the last time the Dodgers were in the World Series, the last two times, we were there before the game and doing our show from the left field, right field, we got sent, actually.
They moved us.
Yeah, because of Pirelli tires.
Skinny Bones Jones was warming up. Chris Sale.
Yeah.
Remember, we were like, how skinny is that dude?
Really skinny.
And then he mowed him down.
Yes, and then you know, the Astros one had the guy jump into the bullpen and got pinned against the wall like a cockroach.
That was good.
But we usually would be at Dodger Stadium for the World Series, and the one thing that really stood out to us was the way people attacked merch. Like Cabbage Patch Kid.
Well, we were dear friends with the merch ladies.
Well, a lot of
across the way,
we've come to know
they're set up right across from us.
We've come to know the people that work at the stadium, and then our people get relocated. So sooner or later, you get to know, you know, one in every 4 or 5 workers, especially on that field level where we are in the pavilion area. And whether
they were attacked,
making micheladas or selling hats or like, and people were just going into the clubhouse store like they had the 57-second shopping spree, but they did it.
It was reminiscent of the Masters, where they, at the Masters in Augusta, they make more money off merch than anything else. They have to have a Magic Mountain Disneyland-like line set up where you just stand in the queue for, I don't know, 40 minutes before it's your turn to get into the store, and then you do it again at the cash register, and you're totally fine doing it.
It's the grabbing hands, grab all they can. It really is, and it was shocking to see, like, grown people that you're used to seeing at the stadium every night become like animals because it says World Series in cursive on it or whatever, and that's all available, but it's all
online.
I'm taking my classes online.
Or at the Lid store.
That's right.
Because all malls in Southern California are open. If you weren't aware, for the first time in years, get Dodgers World Series gear in one place. Customize your jerseys. Your favorite player's official autograph can be put on there or number. Represent LA. Lids is the place to get World Series gear. And AM 570 LA Sports is the place to hear every play of Dodgers playoff games. So Lids are open. Get the World Series gear. Unfortunately, it's not available at Dodger Stadium, because they're not even playing at Dodger Stadium, let alone having it open for fans.
It might have the clubhouse store open because all the people are doing the
driving.
Yeah, I don't know. They might set up some, you know, the opportunity to make money, Matt.
I mean, considering it's $75 to park if you want to go watch the drive-in broadcast. I would assume they'll set up outside.
Yeah. The Top of the Park store is open.
It is,
you can order online and go pick it up.
Look at that. We are talking through this. Top of the Park.
I'm taking my classes online.
But Lids, if you're not looking forward to going to Dodger Stadium to watch it outside with a bunch of other folks in your car on that giant drive-in movie-like screen, Lids at your local malls will be open, and you can buy World Series gear there.
All right, Matt, I want to thank Tim Cates for not only making...
Thank you, India.
Providence.
Thank you, Providence.
Silence.
This is the word of the day?
Yeah.
He heard me with his words.
The word of the day.
Not only does Cates do scam, not only does he do the Dodger pregame show, your sponsorship here.
That's 4 hours of programming.
He's a father. He's a husband.
And?
He's a producer of the Petros and Money Show.
3 hours here, booking guests.
He's built my Air Force and San Jose State boards, which are still in process.
Listen, I didn't want to say anything, but there's a lot of copy and paste in there.
I mean, look.
You might have some 2017 stats.
We missed
there.
It. No. We're okay. There's no stats. But we did miss a white guy running back that had 10 carries, 100 yards against Navy.
Of all guys like, to miss.
He's not on the two deep, Matt. What
does
am I
it matter?
To do?
He had 10 carries, 100 yards.
Then you should make the two deep. White guys should make the two deep.
Well, they have another white guy on the 2 deep. Anyway,
it is Racist Tuesday. White guys should make the 2 deep.
Well, Caden Remsburg is on the 2 deep.
Especially if you're a running back.
I mean, 10 carries, 100 yards against Navy, Matt. That's not chopped liver. And I was like, where is this guy? And Kate's just like, we're not on the 2 deep. And then I followed the guy on Twitter because I had to look him up. Follow me right back.
Yeah.
Air Force, dude. They're so on top of it.
Wow. Military, you're buttoned up,
yeah,
all right?
Calhoun.
Got to have structure.
That's what I'm saying. But even after all of that, Cates was able to indulge my creative whims because, Bob is working. And Bob's doing all the World Series stuff, and there's too much. You know, Don Martin's taxing his ass. But we need a Canadian news drop. We've needed it for years. Every time we talk about Canada.
Yeah, take off, eh?
We don't have a Canadian news. Funny you should say that. Here we go. For the very first time, your word is Canada for Canadian news.
Oh, Canada.
It's Canadian news.
Yeah. Take off, will you? Don't wreck our show, you hoser.
Hey.
Yeah, Kevin.
Brian Adams.
Oh, yeah.
This is the worst Canadian song I could think of.
Anything Brian Adams.
Yeah, or Atlantis.
But late Brian Adams.
But this one from the Robin Hood. Come on, baby. Costner. Today's word is Canada.
Yeah, this is terrible.
But it really would be asbestos, which is an unfortunate mineral resource that was used in building for a long time, but was discovered to be a carcinogen. We mentioned it on the show yesterday.
Yes.
Well, sadly, Matt, a proud mining town, 100 miles outside Montreal in Quebec, Asbestos Canada.
Is that right?
Has voted, finally. They were waiting for it to turn around.
Too soon.
They have voted.
Too soon. Wait it out, guys. Wait it out.
They voted to change their name because they are no longer the location of the world's largest open pit asbestos mine. 7,000 residents of Asbestos voted, some as young as the age of 14.
We're going to let you vote, eh?
Yeah, for the...
On this one, eh?
French, I think, down there in Quebec. But
we are going to let you vote, okay?
There it is, yeah. The new name is Val de Source. So Valley of the Sources. Valley of the Sources. Just beating out Poutzoville, which, I mean, no, actually, they just...
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You sure it's not Poutzoville?
No, they beat out Les Azur des Cantons, which is the blue of the east, Jeffrey sur le Lac, which is Jeffrey by the lake.
Okay.
And Lake La Rochelle. Beaten out by Valley of the Source. Val de Source.
Okay.
So no longer, you get it.
That's too bad.
You can't go to Asbestos Canada anymore. It is now named Val de Source. And asbestos is now banned as an import and export in Canada since 2018. And the open pit mine was...
really took a hit for the industry in the city
there. Asbestos Canada just wore it. The open pit mine also closed in 2011. So way to go, Asbestos Canada. Signs in asbestos will change around Christmas. Now, I don't know what this means for meth California, but that's not good for you either.
I think you just write it out. You know, meth might come around.
They were waiting for it to turn around.
Let's see.
It would turn.
You never know.
When are we going to go about
changing
it?
The world is cyclical, okay? There's going to be a time when asbestos is back. People want popcorn on their ceilings, and we'll be here ready for it.
Well, you know, look. When are we going to change Tobacco Road?
Right? Never.
Well.
I mean, you've been to the South. They're still smoking like crazy.
Bad for you, Matt.
I know, but they don't care.
Well, Asbestos Canada cares.
I want my popcorn
ceiling. They closed our mine.
I don't give a damn.
When the mine closed, everything changed. It's time for the number.
Here's my number.
Shifted on the number thanks to Vic the Brick informing me that a former boss of mine, not because it's personal, but Bob Biggs passed away yesterday. He was 74 years old. He was one of my first bosses. He ran Slash Records, Slash merged with London. I worked for London Records, and they moved their offices to the Slash offices right there on Beverly across from Red.
London Records in Los Angeles.
Exactly. And it became Slash Records. We took the Slash name. Slash was stamped on all the releases we had. A lot of my first records that I ever worked had the Slash logo on the back. And Bob Biggs, for people that don't know, really is as L.A. As it gets. The Decline of Western Civilization is a film. If you've never seen it, it's essentially a punk rock version of The Last Waltz. It is, you know, it's Fear and Germs and Circle Jerks and all of those punk rock bands.
All the seminal punk rock bands.
Yeah, I remember.
And a Los Angeles based.
And a lot of this is just off the top of my head, so probably half of it's wrong, but I believe Bob told me that it was banned. Like, he had a run-in with Daryl Gates, the chief of police, because their first screening, there was a huge riot, and they refused to screen it, so it became kind of like this underground VHS that was passed around and got this cult-like following. For those of you that don't know,
I remember
Germs, Darby Crash sadly overdosed after they had kind of made their mark on the punk scene as one of the very first viable American punk rock bands. Ronnie, maybe if you have some X, Los Angeles. X was a band that Bob Biggs signed. Los Lobos, just another band from East L.A., was a band that Bob signed. Faith No More. And perhaps the best story he told me, the Mike Patton Faith No More, the best story he told me, though, was how he found the Violent Femmes, a band out of Wisconsin that sent him a demo cassette in the mail, and the only reason he listened to it is because the Gordon Gano letter was so interesting. He said, you know what, it was this handwritten letter on loose leaf paper, and it just caught my attention, so I popped the cassette in. And that's what became the Violent Femmes record with Blister in the Sun and Added Up. But Bob was a super cool guy. I think he was a football player at UCLA before he got injured. Just a giant, like 6'4", towering figure, crazy hair. He was an artist. His art was very well received, cost quite a bit of money, and was well respected. Had a ton of shows here in Los Angeles for that as well. But Slash, really one of the great Los Angeles iconic companies for what it did for punk rock. It started as a fanzine, so if you look up Slash Records, you'll see a lot of the original punk rock flyers and fanzines that he did to get that thing started. The whiskey probably isn't the whiskey without Bob Biggs and Slash Records and what those punk rock bands meant to that particular venue. The Misfits,
Clicks,
L7.
Social groups. I mean, a lot of that was started not just for people who thought they were cool, but for people that perhaps felt disenfranchised,
yes,
and a little angry and wanted to jump around and run into Emilio Estevez and the Repo Man.
Exactly
while
right.
While the Circle Jerks played.
And that's, I think that's Bob Biggs. He just passed away yesterday, but that's what encapsulates him. When I was there, he signed the band Rammstein for American distribution. And when asked, well, how many records can we sell for a band that sings in German? And their live performances are essentially a lead singer doing things like rolling a giant 6 to 10 foot long,
just a lot of phallus
yeah, that sprays a fire hose of foam across the front of the audience. And I believe his response was, hey man, if we only sell like 50 or 100,000 records, man, it'll shake up the industry. This is what we need. And that's just the kind of guy he was. And sure enough, I believe it was our most profitable record while I was at London, was that Rammstein with Du Hast on it as its single. So sad to hear. I just learned during our Two Hermano Tuesday that Bob passed away yesterday.
Matt,
really caught me by surprise.
Between the Dead and Alive Guy birthday of the day and Two Hermano Tuesday, we're able to unearth a lot of facts.
Yes, but awesome stuff. If you're into music, and you're not aware of the history of Slash, that's a good one to dig into. And Bob was just an awesome guy, and it's sad that he passed away at the age of 74.
Well, a wonderful tribute to a great Los Angeles figure. There's no doubt about it. And hey, let's go Bruins. Start playing football pretty soon here.
Here we go.
Matt, two corrections and retractions. Jeez.
Corrections and retractions.
My bad on the Bryan Adams song. It's from the Don Juan DeMarco movie.
Even better.
Starring Johnny Depp and Marlon Brando, believe it or not. So that's my bad. I believe there was a different Bryan Adams song.
Everything I Do
just
popped into my head.
That's my
which
bad.
Is, by the way, the worst song.
Should we flip it?
I don't know. That one's terrible, too.
It's pretty bad, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is Meth LA has changed its name, and I apologize for that. It's now known as Lake Los Angeles. So, sorry.
Right. Too soon. I'm still going with too soon. You should see if that thing works itself out. Who knows? Might be the cure for COVID, meth. Next thing you know, you should be Meth LA.
Brought to you by the fight against Warner Music. The
exactly
song
right.
of the day.
This is the song of the day.
Baseball theme is our song of the day from the great American jazz pianist and composer Vince Guaraldi. We all love Vince. Because today baseball is the theme as the Dodgers have returned to the World Series for Game 1 versus the American League champion Tampa Bay Rays at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. And it all gets started with Tim Cates, who will have the extended Morongo Casino World Series Dodger pregame show that's coming up at 3 o'clock. Go Dodgers.
Thank you, Ronnie. Exactly right. That's going to be 4 hours of Cates on the air. Another 3 hours here of producing the Petros and Money Show. And remember, it happens again tomorrow. Get started with Scam at 7 a.m. Sax and Cates in the a.m. Rogan and Rodney 9 to noon. We're on noon to 3. 2 hours of Dodger pregame. It is your home of the Dodgers, who are in the World Series. Game 1 tonight. First pitch at 5 p.m. And when we return, Carlos Pena going to give you a look at those Rays, since we certainly don't know a whole lot about them. But Carlos Pena of the MLB Network with a preview for Game 1, first pitch at 5 p.m. here on your home of the Dodgers, AM 570 East.
This hour of the Petros and Money Show podcast is sponsored by Blue Chew.
Yeah, Blue Chew.
It's nothing to be ashamed of,
no,
guys.
It's not.
Blue Chew brings you the same FDA-approved active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis, now in a chewable form, the first ever to do it.
Yeah, it does, and you can even do it with a full stomach and still get the lead you need in your pencil.
Guys, don't be embarrassed. Don't be worried about going to the doctor. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office and be all embarrassed or wait in line at the pharmacy.
Yeah, get over yourself. Who cares? Like, you're the only one that wants to have a real pencil going, you know what I'm saying, brother, with all the lead necessary to do the job?
It ships right to your door in a discreet package. Right now, we got a special deal for the listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. That's BlueChew.com. And your first shipment is free when you use the special promo code PMS. Just pay $5 shipping.
To hell with being embarrassed. Scream it from the rooftops. I chew blue with Blue Chew.
BlueChew.com. Promo code PMS. Try it free.
They're tweeting. They're on Facebook, Instagram. Interact with the show at AM570LASports.com.
For you, our loyal listener.
Petros and Money continues now.
Now.
Petros and Money, AM570LASports. Remember, if you do not have it yet, what a great time for you to download the iHeartRadio app, because you can stream Dodgers games live for free. It's a 5 p.m. first pitch. Maybe you got to do something with the kids. You're still at work. If you are not near a radio or a TV and you want to get that Dodger game, World Series Game 1, Clayton Kershaw pitching, the best way to do it is to download the app, the iHeartRadio app. You just click right on that AM 570 LA Sports icon, and you can listen live in the moment. When you're not near a radio or TV, that goes for the Petros and Money Show as well. You can subscribe to a ton of different podcast platforms to download your podcast, subscribe to your podcast, listen on demand. You can do that in the iHeartRadio app as well. But the key is, and the difference is, you can listen to the radio station live. So get on it now, because Dodgers first pitch is at 5 p.m. Dodgers Rays in the World Series on your home of the Dodgers, AM 570, and also on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, here he is, Matt, the great Carlos Pena. Somebody knows about those Rays. It's this man. And he knows about Friedman, too. 14 years in the big leagues, an all-star with the Rays. Gold Glover with the Rays. Was in Tampa when they went to the series in 2008. You see him now, of course, the excellent coverage on the MLB Network as one of their lead analysts. We got the game here on AM570 LA Sports, but the network will air live coverages before and after every World Series game from Globe Life Field, including on MLB Tonight. It is the World Series, Dodgers-Rays, and we got it today on your Dodger station, and we have the great Carlos Peña checking in to help you understand the opponent for the Dodgers on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. What's cracking, Carlos? How are you?
Hey, man. Really, really excited. Thank you so much for having me. It's going to be interesting. I can't wait to tune in tonight.
You understand the discrepancies of franchises better than anybody and what some people are willing to spend and what others are not. When you look at the gap here between these two teams, and you see what the Rays have already conquered as far as payrolls go, it doesn't seem to matter. How big of a story do you think it'll be as the series goes on?
Well, I think it's very important to, at the end of the day, make sure we point it out. I mean, it is remarkable, the difference in payroll. When you look at the Rays at the beginning of the year being 27th in the MLB, and then you have the Dodgers as number three in the whole entire league. I mean, the discrepancy is just enormous. And even more so, when it gets magnified when you look at the cost per win. If you look at the cost per win for the Rays, and that is, of course, taking the opening day money invested, and you're looking at the Rays at $1.9 million per win, and the Dodgers actually at $4.3 million per win. Jeez. Now, what does that mean? That is just interesting. That's all. At the end of the day, they're both playing chess when the rest of the league is still playing checkers. I guess you can say that they're doing it in a different type of board. You know, the Rays may be just using a wooden board and the Dodgers maybe a golden one. But at the end of the day, these teams come very prepared. They have all the advanced analytics right at the fingertips, and they go to them pretty much with a lot of loyalty. You know, both managers are very loyal to the numbers. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
The crazy thing for people here in Los Angeles is they've heard for years about what the Dodgers have been willing to spend on a lot of players, and especially when Andrew Friedman first showed up, it was crazy, and the new ownership took over. But when it comes to the Rays, can you explain, you know, to our listeners how they do it? I mean, they're in the same position as the Dodgers right now.
You know, they've taken pride over the years at doing these type of stuff. They understand they're in a small market, and they want to make sure they stretch their dollars and make sure they maximize everything out of every single player they have, out of every single weapon. And they've created this culture. I mean, I was there in 2008, and this is when everything started. In 2007, up until that point, the team had never won more than 60 games, ever, in the history of the franchise, which was young at the time. Still considered a young franchise, but now we're looking at it 11, 12 years later. And you see the seeds that were planted back then when I played, when we got to the World Series in 2008, you could see how things were shifting. And Andrew Friedman, as a matter of fact, was the creator of this, you know, set this locomotive of the Rays in motion. And here they find themselves again in the World Series. But I remember when I used to have those meetings with Andrew and with Joe Maddon, and they used to talk about exit velocity. They used to talk about not worrying too much about the batting average. As a matter of fact, they told me, hey, man, you led the league in exit velocities last year. Make sure you don't look at the batting average because the shift took a lot of points away from you, but you're the same hitter, if not better. I'm like, wait a second, what are you talking about? But that's the mentality that the Rays had back then. You would say that's way ahead of schedule. You know, every other team now, it's on board with exit velocities, with barrel, with making sure you have the right trajectory off of the bat and the right launch angles, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the Rays were talking about them in 2007, 2008, which is remarkable to think about. And now you see the result of that. But more importantly, the culture that they built from that moment forward. And the author and creator of that, pretty much, the one who orchestrated everything, was Andrew Friedman. So he's going to go fight right now the monster he created, which is extremely interesting to me. It's a great storyline.
What about the monster he created in L.A., Carlos? How different is his style in Los Angeles as it was in Tampa?
Well, here he has a lot more margin. Obviously, he's able to go out there and invest. But if you think about it, it's pretty much the same style of play. The Rays utilized over 50 different lineups, and so did the Dodgers, you know, throughout the entire season. Also, pitchers were used very sparingly, not necessarily. Yeah, you have your regular stars, but what I mean is neither managers or organization has any problem with bringing anyone in at any given point in time, which is precisely what both clubs do. There are no defined roles. I would say that the Dodgers maybe have more of the defined roles through their lineup and maybe even their pitchers. But I think everyone on both teams understand. And you heard Roberts talk about how this team, the Dodger team, is absolutely selfless. They play as a team. Well, the same could be said about the Rays, except that I would say a little bit more so, simply because they don't have established stars per se. They just have contributors. When you talk about there's no I in team, that's basically what both of these teams exemplify and pretty much personified right there, right before your eyes. That very overused cliche right here on these two teams. It's the real deal. But with the Dodgers, the talent is just through the roof. You see the star power that the Rays do not have. So in essence, that's the advantage towards the Dodgers.
Carlos Pena is our guest, working at the MLB Network. You see his beautiful face on air all the time. Coverage before and after the World Series, Globe Life Field, MLB Tonight. They are all over it tonight, just like we are.
Carlos, we haven't seen a whole lot of the Rays, if any. Can you share with us what this Game 1 starter, Tyler Glasnow, is all about?
Goodness, Glasnow is one of those guys. Let's talk about specifically about Glasnow, and we look at him, and you see that tall, skinny frame, and we know that he has been dominant throughout the minor leagues, and one of the most commonly, phrases that you hear is like, well, he hasn't really panned out as well as he has done in the minor leagues, but, that remains to be seen. This kid is the real deal. And you see this very tall, skinny frame. Let me tell you, this guy's built like an absolute android, which was impressive to me, because when you saw him in uniform, you're like, okay, he's just a very, tall, skinny kid. And when you see this guy go out there, he has those little tank tops working out. I'm like, is this guy a bodybuilder? That's the way he was built, like a football player, when you were actually able to see that. So this is a freak of nature as far as athleticism is concerned. But boy, the way he utilizes his pitches, that could still be maximized. But if you were to grab each of those pitches in a vacuum, these are plus, plus, plus stuff. However, his success depends on being able to make sure he sequences correctly and strategizes correctly. So that's going to be key for him tonight, especially against that very, very, very potent lineup that the Dodgers have.
Do you think the Rays are licking their chops over Kershaw because of some of the struggles he's had in the postseason? Or do you think they're approaching this with reverence and some kind of respect? It feels like, and I mean that in a funny way, because I love the way they were dancing to New York and having a great time at Yankee Stadium. That was great. How do you think they will approach Kershaw, Carlos?
You say that, and that is absolutely correct. They do have a lot of fun. They do go out there and have a good time when they're all between the lines. However, yes, indeed, they will treat Kershaw with a lot of reverence. And that doesn't mean fear. It means that you do not take your opponent lightly. So they understand that Kershaw is that ever worthy opponent, right? And you have to go out there prepared. You cannot take things for granted. As a matter of fact, I find that is the strength going into this series, is the fact that they will not take the Dodgers for granted, where possibly the Dodgers, being a very star-studded ball club, could look down on the Rays, which would be an absolute mistake. Now, that has to be pretty much erased from your, it's a human nature when you look at the numbers and when you look at the fact that the Dodgers been in the postseason so many years in a row, winning their pennant. And, well, here comes a Rays team that maybe hasn't had the success that the Dodgers have had up until this point. It is very easy to just human nature to look down and take them for granted. Now, I don't think that's happening, but you have to be intentional about it, because if you're not, it could pretty much sneak in. And the perception fools you. That's not going to be happening with the Rays. That is the Rays' strength. They understand that they're facing a Goliath and that they are the David. But at the end of the day, they know how that story goes. David did defeat the Goliath, and they do take pride in that, and that's the way they play. So very dangerous they become very dangerous when they have that type of mentality. They will have reverence. They will have respect for Kershaw. But, boy, they're going to have fun, and they're going to give them their best.
Yeah, the king took that Philistine down. That's the truth. We don't have
that is the truth.
We don't have Puig anymore, but we did have a Cuban hero during the Dodger postseason for a while. And this Randy Arozarena
is
unbelievable hero. Where did he come from? Because he's become like the new Mr. October.
Indeed. I mean, we could arguably say that this is one of the best rookie performances in the history of the postseason major leagues ever, right? And we wouldn't be exaggerating. If you look at his 7 home runs this postseason, if you think about it, the record for the most home runs in a single postseason is 8. So very well, it could happen that here in the World Series, if he hits 1, he ties that, and he could go over and actually break that record. Another note to point out is the record for the Rays postseason home runs is Longoria with 9. So Arozarena could break that record that Longo acquired or set in a few several postseasons in just 1, which is absolutely awesome. This kid makes his debut late in the season because, you know, he had the COVID-19. He had to quarantine for a month in his hotel room. But the story goes, the legend goes, that instead of just kind of letting it go, this kid went to work. He had a very strict regimen of nutrition and push-ups, and he gained 15 pounds of muscle, which is, you know, those are serving him well right now when it counts. He has been impressive. Great swing, level swing through the zone. The barrel stays with the line of the pitch for a long, long time. And if your timing is on, you know, pretty much at the right time, when you get to your right with the baseball at the right time, it produces power. And that's what Arozarena has been able to do here this late in October. So, yes, he is the new Mr. October. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, yo soy cubano. The great Carlos Pena, unbelievable. Speaking of impressive, great analysis, and you'll be able to see it on the MLB Network. They got all the coverage of the World Series, and we're running it right here on AM 570 LA Sports, your home of the Dodgers, a worthy opponent in Tampa Bay, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this crazy matchup, and Andrew Friedman up there just having a coronary in the booth. Thank you, Carlos. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. It's going to be so much fun. I'm pumped about it.
Great insight from Carlos Pena there. Get to know the enemy. Petros and Money continues with reaction from the Textoso line. We'll do the Textoso Rodeo Roundup next. First pitch. World Series Game 1, Clayton Kershaw taking the ball at 5 p.m. on your home of the Dodgers, AM 570 LA Sports.
Get P and Money on your smart speaker.
Mic check, mic check.
Just say, Alexa.
Yes?
Play AM 570 LA Sports on iHeartRadio.
Not like I'm counting the days. But it's been 25.
Big thank you to Carlos Pena, MLB Network. We are your home of the Dodgers World Series Game 1. First pitch, 5 p.m. Clayton Kershaw versus Tyler Glasnow. And we will have Dodgers on deck at 3. We got one more hour to go, and the same schedule holds for tomorrow. On your home of the Dodgers, as they are in the World Series, Scam, Sachs, and Cates in the a.m., 7 a.m.
Oh, I got
to 9.
A Scam text right here.
Okay.
Cates, it's directed at you.
Well, here we go.
The secret text, the sublime.
Sold out to Chevy.
Says, I love Scam, but God damn it, if I hear Cates call him Saxy one more time, tell him to F and stop.
Wow, what's called? Whoa,
well, maybe
whoa,
just
whoa,
mix
whoa
it up. Like, call him Steve, then call him Sax, then call him Saxy, and just rotate it.
Yeah.
Friends of him call him Saxy.
Okay, but what if he called you Catesy the whole time?
Every time.
I would think that'd be awesome if he called me
Catesy.
Well,
Casey. Like, look, when you call a football game, let's say it's Arizona State, mm-hmm, you give him the ASU,
yep,
you give him the A State, mm-hmm, you give him the Devils, you give him the Sun Devils, you mix it up.
Right. Hmm. Keep it fresh.
Okay.
Sax, Steve, Saxy.
Saxy again.
Then maybe, okay. If you want to do it 2-1-1.
And then Sexy 6 more times.
That's right.
I know a guy that tried to call today and talk about the Sax Simpsons episode, and you hung up on him.
I did not hang up on him. I hung him up. Wait, I did. He mentioned the Simpsons episode, and then he started saying something else, and I knew where he was going, and so I cut him off before he could go there.
Jeez, all right.
Yeah. Where was he going?
He was going down a road that I did
wait,
not
Ronnie.
Want to
go.
What road?
It was a bad road.
Which road? How
wait,
bad?
Wait, Ronnie, wait. I want to hear that donkey.
Okay.
I want to hear the donkey sound. I don't know what road he was going on, but here, as the Dodger donkey climbs the hill, finally, we have found the quintessential donkey quote.
Okay.
I don't know what was offensive about the Simpsons episode to talk to Sachs about.
I think it's something about what the Sachs was doing. I don't know. Now, what was it, Cates? Why don't you share it with us?
Shaving his sideburns? What?
It wasn't the Simpsons episode per se. It was the next follow-up you wanted to talk about.
How do you know what he was? All right.
I know where he's going.
Let me hear my donkey quote, please.
You see, my mule don't like people laughing. It's the crazy idea you're laughing at him. Now, if you apologize, like I know you're going to, I might convince him that you really didn't mean it.
Don't laugh at the Dodger donkey.
No.
He does not take kindly.
The Braves laughed at the Dodger donkey. Manny Machado laughed at the Dodger donkey.
Yeah. That guy Acuna was waving his arms all around.
Right? Stupid hair and his gold chains.
How'd that work out?
Not so
you
well.
You jumped up in the air and that chain came up and it knocked you out. It hit you in the face. Yeah. Mix that up.
We got Eric Karros next.
Eric Karros doesn't take you kindly. Take too kindly to you laughing at his donkey either. He'll join us next. Like Matt said. Just like Matt said.